Good afternoon. My name is Susan Muirhead, and today I'll be reading part one of the News Gazette, dated for this date, Tuesday, January 14th, 2025. As always, I begin with today's top stories. The first headline reads, Unit 4 School Board. Temp sought to fill board vacancy. Some currently serving don't think it's worth filling seat for just a few months. This article is written by Jeff D'Alessio and is based out of Champaign. Wanted, one Unit 4 district resident interested in joining a school board that three members resigned from in 2024 for a period of less than 3 months to be replaced by someone the voters elect on April 1st. Past board members are strongly encouraged to apply. Those on the ballot in April are not. Meeting Monday for the first time in 2025 and the first time since Sam Banks stepped down last month. The six remaining members spend a good chunk of the night discussing and debating what to do next before arriving at the framework of a plan. After a round of initial reservations from half the board, I kind of think it's a waste of time, Mark Holm said of choosing, selecting, and seating a new member for a handful of meetings. It was decided that the deadline for applications would be a week from today. The board would have a follow-up conversation on January 27th, and interviews would be held February 3rd. A decision needs to be reached by February 13th, 60 days after Banks submitted his letter of resignation after spending 6 months on the board. If by that date the board doesn't choose someone to fill what President Janina Baker acknowledged would be a very brief stint, the decision would go to Regional Superintendent Gary Lewis. He'd then have 30 days to make a pick. That's what happened the last time the board had unscheduled openings. The seats vacated last March, less than a year after being elected by Jamar Brown and Mark Tice. When the remaining members couldn't agree on the process for replacing them, Lewis handled it, appointing Banks and Holm. Board member Betsy Holder noted that technically state statute allows for the seat to remain unfilled through April's election, should neither the board nor Lewis appoint a short-term replacement. That's the outcome she was hoping for. Between interviewing, choosing, swearing in, training, and bringing up to speed a new member, from a practical standpoint, it seems like it would be asking a lot and kind of an unnecessary exercise, Holder said. My position is wait until the next election and go from there, as opposed to seating somebody for what realistically is two or three meetings, she added. Holder also predicted that given the makeup of what's been a divided board on many issues, current members would lean toward applicants who'd vote one way or another on certain issues. But forget the dysfunctional board. It's a time thing, Holder said. It's not fair to that person. It's not fair to the community. Amy Armstrong initially expressed a desire to not put another human being through what seems like an exercise in futility. I'm sitting here still because of an audit on the district's special education services that's coming, she said. I'm sitting here because I owe a debt to members of this community to be an advocate and a voice and supportive. But we have not followed the law as a board. It's been frustrating. Heather Vasquez had a different take, stressing the obligation of the six people seated on this board who have not ceded their responsibility, not stepped down. We're the ones who stayed and would be best equipped to decide who joins the board for the short term. While there was no vote required on the issue, the majority of the board eventually came around to the idea of beginning the process with a few conditions. First, Armstrong emphasized the new member would not be allowed to take part in the annual evaluation of Superintendent Sheila Boozer, due no later than March 1st, given that the appointee would be coming in cold and unequipped to weigh in on the last year. Second, every member would take part in deciding what questions are asked of applicants during the interview process. Third, while none of the 10 external candidates vying for 5 seats on the board in the April 1st election would be barred from applying, the strong preference would be to pick someone else. The optics of selecting someone on the ballot, that doesn't sit well, Bruce Brown said. And there is one photograph that accompanies this article, taken from a video. It's of three people kind of sitting at a long table in their seats, having a discussion. The caption reads, Mark Holm, left, speaks at Monday night's Champaign School Board meeting as Amy Armstrong and Bruce Brown look on. The next headline reads, Champaign City Council, future of downtown events on agenda. Officials seek to improve on 2024 successes. This article is written by Jana Wiersema and is based out of Champaign. As city staff look back on 2024 and plan for 2025, Economic Development Manager TJ Blakeman said last year's downtown entertainment pilot program saw a lot of success. More than 20,000 visitors attended Market Street events. We had outstanding special events. Our live music grants were a hit with businesses and patrons. And Executive Director Kelly White at 40 North tells us that last year's Friday Night Live was the best they have ever had, he told the News Gazette. And yet the old adage is true, there's always room for improvement. Blakeman wrote in a report to the City Council that after gathering extensive feedback on the pilot program and evaluating the outcomes, staff recommend it continue in 2025, but with modifications such as changing the scope of the city's programming. To minimize staffing and financial impacts, a key approach will be activating the downtown area on various days and times through smaller but impactful events to maximize accessibility and encourage consistent foot traffic to all establishments, including daytime retail, Blakeman said. His report included several programming proposals for 2025, including a partnership with the Land Connection to enhance its existing Tuesday Farmers Market, which runs from May to October. A Thursday lunchtime concert series from May to September on the new Neal Street Plaza stage. Continued support for Friday Night Live, live entertainment grants, and the special event sponsorship program. A retooled version of the Market Street concert series. The creation of a permanent festival district downtown from 11 a.m. To 11 p.m. on Thursdays, Fridays, and Saturdays, so that there is less confusion for visitors about when participating businesses are allowed to sell alcoholic beverages that can be enjoyed off-premises. These proposals were created by city staff with a great deal of input from the community, including event attendees and businesses, Blakeman said. He added that city staff would like the council's direction on the creation of new positions to support downtown programming and manage new public spaces, such as the Neal Street Plaza that is currently under construction. Furthermore, staff suggests that the city hire a private firm to help maintain such spaces, clean public sidewalks, engage with homeless individuals, and serve as ambassadors to visitors to the Center City districts. It is recommended that $800,000 be budgeted for this expense. The cost of the recommended programming proposals for 2025 and continuing the temporary project specialist position through the end of 2025 is a little over $400,000, Blakeman said. The annual cost of creating a permanent position to oversee a future programming and management of public spaces would be approximately $90,000. In addition to presenting the proposal for 2025, Blakeman's report also looked back on the outcomes in 2024. The 2024 programming included a new Market Street Entertainment District with the Market Street Stage, a one-hour extension of Friday Night Live, creation of new festival districts, live entertainment grants, changes to the special event sponsorship program, and overall marketing of the beat, quote-unquote, Blakeman said. The Market Street Entertainment District exists between Main Street, and University Avenue. The area was closed to vehicular traffic during certain weekend hours from late May to October. Those times fluctuated, but because of the proposed stage setup this year, we are working hard to minimize those closure times and any impacts on business, Blakeman told the News Gazette. The city built a stage at Taylor Street and organized late-night concerts by live bands and DJs on Fridays and Saturdays. Blakeman said that the venue experienced rapid growth in popularity, with attendance peaking at 1,783 visitors on the night of July 20th. As turnout increased, the city made some changes based on comments from downtown businesses and residents, including limiting entry to those 21 and older, shifting programs to Saturdays only, ending at midnight instead of 1 a.m., and contracting members of First Followers to help staff entry points. The city found that the changes decreased attendance to manageable levels, Blakeman said. In his evaluation of the entertainment district, he said attendance indicated a strong demand for this late night programming, and survey data showed that people felt safe and secure. However, he noted that the district required significant staffing, with over 30 individuals needed to manage the area at its peak. This staffing demand posed logistical challenges and financial strain, with a cost per event calculated at $11,000, Blakeman said. Another issue is that as downtown Champaign becomes increasingly residential, the compatibility of large-scale, particularly late-night events, with the neighborhood's character becomes challenging. City staff are proposing that the city could reimagine the Market Street concert series in 2025 and hold the events from 8 to 11 p.m. on the first and last Saturday of each month from May to September. The proposal also includes moving the event stage to the north end of Market, facing south, to alleviate bottlenecks and minimize street closures and business impacts, Blakeman said. City staff are suggesting a more open plan so that attendees can engage more easily with surrounding businesses and not just those within the entertainment. Within the entertainment district area. Business stakeholders expressed concerns that the Market Street stage drew business away from other establishments and that the programming felt disconnected from the broader downtown area, Blakeman said. Additionally, street closures negatively impacted some Market Street businesses, with several citing reduced foot traffic. The City Council will discuss the downtown entertainment pilot program during a 7 p.m. study session today so that staff can receive direction on how to move forward. There were a lot of great lessons learned that helped inform this year's proposals, Blakeman told the News Gazette. This is one of the benefits of a pilot program. It allows us to try various ideas to gauge impact. 2025 will be another pilot program year to modify existing programs and try new things. Overall, our goal is to continue driving traffic from the entire community to our terrific downtown and further strengthen the area. The next headline reads from Bob Asmussen's column, Illinois Wrestling, Hometown Advantage. For Urbana's Luffmans, L-U-F-F-M-A-N-S, wrestling is all in the family. And this article is based out of Urbana. The Luffmans didn't start out as a wrestling family. Chris, C-H-R-I-S, Luffman's sport of choice in Granite City was football. But thanks in part to the help of wrestling icons, the Mammons and Heffernans, Chris, wife Melissa, and sons Luke and Jake are now all in on the mat. Wrestling is a family activity, a source of pride, and a path to Luke's University of Illinois education. So far, 2 degrees. It's been great, said Chris, a special education teacher at Urbana High School. Luke found his niche, said Melissa, a special ed teacher at Champaign's Stratton Elementary. It all started kind of by accident, or divine intervention from the wrestling gods, you decide. When Jake and Luke were growing up in Urbana, third grader Jake played in the Central Illinois Youth Football League. Second grader Luke was too young to play, but he went to practices and hung out with the team. Luke was chomping at the bit to get in, Chris said. He was as big as the other kids out there, but he was just too young. One of Jake's teammates was Andrew Mammon, M-A-M-M-E-N, son of former wrestler Mark Mammon, and grandson of longtime Tigers coach Wayne Mammon. Mark says, "Who is that?" And I said, "That's my youngest son, Luke." He said, "That boy needs to wrestle." Luke tried other sports, hockey, ice skating, gymnastics, and excelled. He was good at everything, Chris said. Everything he's ever done, he's picked it up like it was nothing. In wrestling, Luke hit a new level of success. The first time we took him to an open wrestling practice, it was like throwing a goldfish in a bowl, Chris said. He just took off. He loved it. He loved the hands-on. He loved the strategy, the movement of it, the having to rely on yourself kind of thing. He loved that part of it. Soon he was being asked to compete on all-star teams with the top youth wrestlers in the state. Good company. A lot of those guys made it to the Big Ten, Chris said. Luke's wrestling took him across the country and throughout the world. He made 2 trips to Russia and 1 to Croatia. Melissa enjoyed a wrestling trip to Hawaii. Luke's favorite was a visit to the U.S. Olympic Training Facility in Colorado Springs, Colorado. The Luffmans worked with a string of wrestling clubs in the area, starting with one in Urbana, moving to one in Mahomet, and then to one in Champaign that was at Huff Hall. The big guys, college wrestlers, would come off the mat and the little guys would go on the mat, Chris said. I told Luke, when you're out there, you can never let up working hard because they'll watch you. That was one of the things Coach Jim Heffernan, H-E-F-F-E-R-N-A-N, said to him. I've been watching you for a long time. Hard worker. He was always picking up skills, Chris said. He was on the internet watching stuff. Melissa and Chris took Luke to different practices, sometimes driving 90 minutes one way for a session. He'd be working in the car on the way back, doing his homework, Chris said. The Luffmans are on their 3rd Chrysler Town and Country minivan of Luke's career. To make the travel affordable, they brought their own food and skipped the 5-star hotels. Chris and Melissa have attended as many matches as possible, going back to Luke's youth wrestling days. We always enjoyed coming. We enjoyed the team aspect. We cheer for you, then we cheer for the team, Melissa said. It was a fun thing. No surprise, Jake and Luke have been easy to raise. Both my kids have been a blessing, Chris said. We're a very tight family. My oldest loves helping people, and Luke gets good grades and does what he's supposed to do. Once at Urbana High School, Luke decided to focus on wrestling, mostly. As a freshman, longtime soccer coach Randy Blackman convinced the Luffmans to have Luke help the team. He said, I need a goalie, Chris said. And he goes, I need somebody to show these kids what a work ethic is, and your kid will do that. Luke's wrestling success has rubbed off on his extended family. Cousins in Granite City are starting to wrestle. Easy decision. During his standout career at Urbana High School, he won 3 state titles. Luke took an unofficial recruiting visit to the University of Illinois. The team was then coached by longtime leader Heffernan, himself part of a successful wrestling family. Luke, Chris, and Heffernan sat in the coach's office and talked about the future. Heffernan looks at Luke and boys. Having to be straight with you, I want you to come to the University of Illinois. He said, I just want you to know you won't pay a cent for your education here. We want him here. The next steps, just tell me you want to come. Didn't take long for Heffernan to get back the answer he wanted. Of course, Luke would wrestle at Illinois. Luke said, let's do it, Chris said. That was recruiting. It was not a heated recruiting battle. Though he had the ability to wrestle at a pack of top programs, Luke didn't consider any others. I only ever wanted to be here, Luke said. Early in the family's wrestling journey, Melissa didn't realize it could lead her son to college, and it did. By the time Luke was a sophomore at Urbana, the family knew he was heading to Illinois. It has worked out like Luke and his family hoped. In his 6th season, he has already qualified for the NCAA championships 3 times, with expectations of a 4th appearance later this season in Philadelphia. Though he has dealt with injuries that have cost him time on the mat, Luke's career has been a success, and it might continue for a bonus 7th season. Because of all the time he has missed, Luke plans to seek another year of eligibility. In recent years, the NCAA has leaned toward the athletes when injury-related requests are made, so it is possible. We're going to go ahead and apply for it the end of this year and just see what happens, Chris said. Luke earned his undergraduate degree in kinesiology and got his master's in recreation, sports, and tourism. Coaching is in his future at the college level. Home mat advantage. Over the years, the Illinois wrestling roster has been dotted with local athletes, many who thrived. Mahomet's John Lockhart won an NCAA heavyweight title and finished 3rd another year. Like Lockhart did back in the day, Luke enjoys competing in college so close to where he grew up. Luke has a built-in support system here. It's awesome, Luke said. He is the lone local wrestler on the current team. Having his family nearby is a plus. That was one of the big reasons I stayed so close, Luke said. He can head to the family home on Harding Drive for one of Melissa's delicious meals, and he does. Protein heavy, Meet first. We live 7 minutes from here, Melissa said. Luke doesn't live at home. Instead, he is with Jake and Tolono. There's nothing like spending time around your family, he said. And there's nothing like going to school in your hometown. It's Cheers, College Edition, where everybody knows your name. I had a guy come up to me and poke me in the back and tell me he saw me on the news, Luke said. Just a random guy. That was cool. The family understands the positive influence it has on Luke. It's a big deal, Chris said. A lot of wrestling is the support network that you have because it's not always going to be the way you want it. To be able to have a meal that you're used to and be able to go there and sit with your parents a little bit and decompress has been very valuable for him. Mom, Dad, and Jake are at most of the home matches and travel to away matches whenever possible. During the matches, Melissa claps and cheers. Jake and Chris are a bit louder, with both shouting time left on the clock. Luke wears glasses in everyday life, but not on the mat. I just squint, he said. Jake is an Urbana firefighter and has already blocked out vacation time for the NCAA meet in March. I'm going, Jake said. I'm set. Chris was dealing with a cold this weekend, so to keep everybody healthy, he stayed away from Huff. I've got the Big Ten Network on TV, which is nice, Chris said. Many Illini wrestlers have qualified for 4 NCAA meets during their careers. If Luke gets a bonus season, it looks like he will have a chance to become Illinois' first 5-time qualifier. Bob Asmussen is a college football reporter and columnist for the News Gazette. He can be reached by phone or email at 217-393-8248. That's 217-393-8248. And his email address is Asmussen, Asmussen, at newsgazette.com. And there are 2 photos that accompany this article. One is of a wrestler during a match, and he's got a big orange U on his wrestling uniform, and his hands are up in victory. The caption reads, Urbana's Luke Luffman reacts after defeating Westville GRF's Hayden Kopass in their 285-pound championship match in February 2019 during the Class 2A state tournament at the State Farm Center in Champaign. And that was provided by the News Gazette. And there's also a picture of Luke at a younger age. It's a little boy who I think is on like a stationary bike, and he's wearing a U of I hoodie. The caption reads, at age 9, Luke Luffman previewed where he would go to college, Illinois. The Urbana native is in his 6th season on the wrestling team. And that photo is provided. Congratulations to him. Next up, top of the morning, something to get you going today, courtesy of Vice President Jim Rosso. Ben Humrichous, that's Humrichous, Ben Humrichous's shooting, Morez Johnson Jr.'s inside dominance, and a suffocating defense had a lot to do with the Illini's rout of Penn State last week at State Farm Center. Judging from emails and texts Mark Burns received after the game, so did the singing men of GNN, who knocked it out of the park with their rendition of the Star Spangled Banner. I had people credit the overwhelming victory to how well we sang, the founder of the 25-year-old group said. You really motivated the guys. It certainly wasn't the first time the singing men wowed an Illini crowd. Since 1999, they've performed at campus venues big and small, including the U of I Ice Arena for club hockey, a gig that was tougher on the footing than the vocal cords. You have to shuffle on the ice and watch your step, Burns said. We know the crowd would go wild if he fell down, but that was a lot of fun. The crowd is raucous. What was unique about Thursday's national anthem? It marked the first time the singing men were directed by a woman. We'll have more on the talented groundbreaker, Lou Welch, later this week. That's L-U, Welch, later this week. More than 300 men from counties throughout East Central Illinois have participated over the years. The camaraderie and fellowship make it special, said Burns. Great News Radio general manager who started the group, when something spoke to my heart after reading Bible verses. We all love to sing. And there's a nice group photo of them singing at the U of I game versus Penn State last week at the State Farm Center. They're on the court and singing. They have red shirts and black pants on. And that photo is provided by Scott Beatty of CIMG. Next up, history. Area history. In 1925, 8 University of Illinois students were badly injured, 2 so seriously that death may ensue, when a sled they hitched behind an automobile was struck by a car going in the opposite direction in the 500 block of West Green Street last night. In 2010, the construction of a new hospital in Monticello should provide about a $1 million boost to the city's economy. Steve Tenhouse, chief executive of John and Mary E. Kirby Hospital, projects. In international history, today's highlight. On January 14, 2013, cyclist Lance Armstrong ended a decade of denial by confessing to Oprah Winfrey during a videotaped interview that he'd used performance-enhancing drugs to win the Tour de France 7 consecutive times. Also on this date, in 1784, the United States ratified the Treaty of Paris, ending the Revolutionary War. Britain followed suit in April. That was 1784. And the end of the Revolutionary War. In 1943, U.S. President Franklin D. Roosevelt, British Prime Minister Winston Churchill, and French General Charles de Gaulle opened a wartime conference in Casablanca, Morocco. In 1952, NBC's Today Show premiered with Dave Garraway as host. In 1954, New York Yankees center fielder Joe DiMaggio and actress Marilyn Monroe were married in San Francisco. In 1963, George C. Wallace was sworn in as governor of Alabama with the pledge, "Segregation now, segregation tomorrow, and segregation forever," a view he later repudiated. In 1967, the Summer of Love unofficially began with a human be-in involving tens of thousands of young people at Golden Gate Park in San Francisco. In 1970, Diana Ross and the Supremes performed their last concert together at the Frontier Hotel in Las Vegas. In 1994, U.S. President Bill Clinton, Russian President Boris Yeltsin, and Ukrainian President Leonid Kravchuk signed the Trilateral Statement, an accord to dismantle the nuclear arsenal of Ukraine. And in 2006, Eminem remarried Kim Mathers in Detroit. He filed for divorce 82 days later. Next up, let's take a brief look at our weather forecast for the next few days. Today, 19 degrees. Mostly cloudy with snow, 70% likely early. Sunny in the afternoon, accumulation around an inch possible. Northwest winds 10 to 15 miles per hour. Overnight, clear. Northwest winds 5 miles per hour. Wednesday, the high will be 17, the low is 0. Sunny, southwest winds 5 to 10 miles per hour. Overnight, partly cloudy. Wind chill values as low as 5 below. It's getting cold, people. Thursday, the high is 32, the low will be 10, partly cloudy. Friday, the high is a little bit warmer, it's 38 degrees, the low will be 22, mostly sunny, a 30% chance of rain in the afternoon. Saturday, it'll be a little bit warmer as well, the high is 34, the low is 29, it will be mostly cloudy. And as a quick reminder, the News Gazette offices are located at 2101 Fox Drive, Champaign, Illinois, and you can call the office directly at 217-351-5266. That's 217-351-5266. I'm Susan Muirhead. I'll be reading part 2 with you shortly, so please stay with me. Thanks for listening and have a wonderful day.